Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. We heard from Richard Skinner last hour from WKRC in Cincinnati talking about the Bengals draft needs and shoring up the defense. Eric DaCosta, post-draft here for the Ravens, talks about very same thing, stacking up that D.
Well, I think, you know, we went into it, you know, thinking maybe that we would allocate some resources to that side of the football. You know, I think it's very cyclical. Some years we spend most of our picks on offense, some years more so on defense, some years we're balanced. You know, I think early on this year we did spend some picks on defense. I think we got some great football players at important positions. You know, guys that can make plays on the football, guys who can get to the quarterback, that's great. And probably the one thing we couldn't do is get that big, wide body type guy. And I think, you know, that's something that will assess and address after the draft, and you know, we're already starting to talk about that, so we're aware of that. But I think the guys we took can really impact the defense for sure, and we're excited about them.
Yeah, no question about that. I mean, he's talking about the first two picks, which Starks is going to start at free safety, you know, and you know, with the pass rush, I would think that he'll definitely be in the mix, you know, and he'll be in the rotation, Mike Green. I think, you know, he'll be, in my opinion right now, he would be third, you know, ahead of Ajabo, ahead of Adisa Isaac. You know, and Tavius Robinson's more of a run guy, but I think Mike Green will get a lot of play or a lot of opportunity. And the better he does, you know, the more it's going to help. Man, if he does real well, Bob, Owe, free agent after the year.
Eric DaCosta also talks about the guys that were drafted here in 2025. How many can play right away?
Well, it was a long day, a couple of days, but happy the way that it transpired. I think we added some really interesting, good developmental players, some guys that can come in and help us right away, and some guys that, like, looking out, you know, I think we'll be looking back and saying, hey, these guys really helped our team.
I think the right-away guys, Bob, that when we talk about Starks, Green, absolutely. I mean, if they're not, then that's a big mistake. But I think both those come in and help. Kicker comes in and helps. I think that. Emory Jones, I think he's got to help because he's going to provide depth. Other than that, Peoples, we'll see, you know, if he can help a little bit. But, I mean, he's not very big. You know, 282 and got short little arms. He's got some quickness. But that's what he's going to have to show. You know, and then does Wester help in the punt return? You know, otherwise you kind of got developmental-type guys like Eric was talking about.
Now, we look at Jeff Zriebeck's updated Ravens depth chart post-draft. And we'll start with the defense, which since it's been addressed. Interior defensive line. And thank you, Jeff, as always, from The Athletic. Get my $5 a month worth. Nnamdi Matabike, Travis Jones, Broderick Washington, your main dude. You mentioned Peoples, C.J. Ravenel, part of the backup crew, and then C.J. Okoye Adeyayo Adele.
Yeah, I think, Bob, they'll be looking... they'll sign more, maybe three, if there is. Two for sure. I think they get two for sure, maybe a third. Veteran defensive tackle.
And right now, the depth means people that are on the bubble. You know what I mean? Because Matabike, Jones, Washington making the team. And if they bring in others, then, you know, Peoples is your draft pick, and I don't know if they'd like to whack attack him.
And they normally keep five, because backups we had Pierce, and then
Brent Urban.
So I'd say two veteran guys they'll bring in, Bob. Two veteran guys. And, you know, then if somebody else, you know, the Ravenels and Koyas and those Peebles and all them, if somebody steps up to make one of those, great. If not, they'll all be on the practice squad.
Outside linebacker, Van Noy, Owe, Green, Tavius Robinson, locks.
Totally.
Ajabo, Isaac, Malik Ham, however.
I would say, Ajabo, Malik Ham, and Adisa Isaac, they got to show something. They're going to have to show something. Isaac probably has a better chance just because he was redshirted last year. You know, so it was basically a non-year for him. So I think he'll be on the team. Ajabo's got to show something. That's what he. This is his come to Jesus moment. You know, with the team, he's got to show that he can. He's got to flat. He's got to do something that gets you excited. That you show that hey, he's got something. You know, because right now when you watch him play, it's hard. He can't get off of blocks and. He just doesn't look natural at all.
Predicting now, last day of April, when they open their season, date, opponent to be determined, will Ajabo be on the roster?
I'll say, Bob, yes. Just because I'm figuring that, okay, I'm 2 years out of surgery and everything, and... through mini camps, and I'll say yes, but you know what, Bob? By mandatory mini camp, you'll know.
And real quick, inside linebacker news from the NAS video at 81057 The Fan, Nolan McGraw, Roquan, Trenton Simpson, Teddy Buchanan, who we'll talk about in about a half an hour, Jacob Hummel, who they signed in the offseason.
Those four are all going to make it.
And then William Quenco. Cool. And I'm sure I'm butchering your name, William, so apologies.
They may still have to go get a veteran guy, Bob, if, the Buchanans of the world. And Hummel, because I see Buchanan.
Teams guy, yeah.
I see Buchanan as a special teamer. I see Hummel as a special teamer. You know, and is that the same thing that we've had in the past? But Simpson's got to step up. That's the biggest thing. If Simpson steps up, then they're fine.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. We'll come back. Let's count some midweek money, hopefully. Got a little buy or sell going your way. Talk about the many sports subjects of this day. Orioles tonight, Yankees 6:35 series finale. Orioles get embarrassed last night, trying to win the series, however, behind Cade Povich. Hopefully some offense. Baltimore baseball tonight, me and Ryan Ripken. And Nolan McGraw, what is up? Lopper Pickles, we start at 5:30, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. So the Orioles, after last night's debacle, could still take 2 out of 3. How about that?
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Benny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. Pick a song, we'll play it. Favorite female artiste or band, send your request. Plaza for text line. Orioles taking on the Yankees tonight. I'll spin it positive. Orioles win tonight, they win the series. Then they get an off day. Kansas City comes to town, so... let's go with that one. NFL draft is over. Rookie minicamp for the Ravens coming up this weekend. Still got draft profiles coming your way. Stick around for that. Stanley Cup, NBA playoffs, very much alive. Big weekend of boxing. If you like the pugilism, Friday at Manhattan, you got Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney, Teofimo Lopez all fighting. Canelo fights on Saturday. Kentucky Derby is coming up Saturday. But right now, most importantly, where's our money? By ourselves.
Yeah, we don't. We're not making any money today, Bob. The Dow's down 224. The S&P's down 51. NASDAQ's down 236. DraftKings down 22 cents. Under Armour's down 16 cents to 538.
Well, let's start here with the Orioles. Like you said, a chance to win the series tonight, and Cade Povich will be on the mound looking to build on what might have been the best start of his career last time out against the Nats. Went 6 2/3, just one run, only one walk, and 5 strikeouts. You're asking yourself, what was the key to that success? Well, his command was fantastic. Got ahead of nearly every batter he faced, a first pitch strike in 21 of the 25 at-bats. That's 84% there. His season-long first pitch strike rate is 65%. Buy or sell, Bob, Povich displays similar command tonight, lands a first pitch strike in 70% of at-bats.
Does he get overwhelmed by the Yankee power and he nibbles and doesn't attack the zone? Let's keep it positive. I will say yes. I'm buying that. By the way, the Yankees collectively on Grisham, Judge, Rice, Volpe that have faced Cade Povich 3-for-10 with a homer, the one homer. You guessed it, Aaron Judge. 1-for-1 with a little bingo, bango, bongo. Ben Rice is 0-for-4. That Volpe, he's annoying. He's 2-for-4.
First pitch strike's not always the exact key. I mean, Kyle Gibson had a lot of first pitch strikes last night.
Well, if it's like, go ahead and hit it.
Right, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
All right, how about a little NFL draft here? The Titans, they were locked in on Cam Ward as the top overall pick for a while leading up to the draft, and seemingly no consideration to trade back even a few spots to try to collect a few more picks. So with that in mind, probably safe to assume that he would automatically be anointed the week one starter right away. Well, not so fast. Their GM said that Ward will face camp competition and that Will Levis certainly elevates that competition. Vinny, are you buying or selling that there's any way for Ward to lose the week one starter job in training camp?
Could he lose it? Yeah, he could lose it. I mean, Levis has got to play out of his ass, you know, and not turn the ball over. And Ward has got to show that he's not ready. That would be the only way. If Ward shows that he's not ready and Levis shows that he is, that's the only way. Otherwise, Ward will be starting.
Over to the NBA, tough break for Dame Lillard as he worked his way back just to play in a few games of this round one series, overcoming the blood clot issue he had. But didn't last long. Now he's going to be out even longer, rehabbing from a torn Achilles. Throw in the fact that he's 34 years old, and some people like NBA writer Sam Quinn saying that this injury is the end of Damian Lillard's prime. Shooting, which is his strong suit, that ages well, that bodes well for him, but Quinn noting here that there just aren't many examples of premier players fully rebounding to their original form post-Achilles injury. He says Kevin Durant might be the closest thing we've seen to it, but even he seems to have nagging injuries every single season at this point. Can't play a full season. Bob, are you buying or selling that Lillard's prime is in fact over?
Yeah, I'm buying it. And look, like you said, the shooting ability is incredible. He's got logo range. Now, Steph Curry hasn't had that level of injury concerns. He still plays at an extremely high level. Maybe the greatest shooter and one of the best players in the history of the league. Yeah, but Dame, like the dynamic duo thing with Giannis, that didn't come to fruition. Doesn't really play all that great a defense, you know what I mean? Might give up more than he actually scores, but yes, I'll buy that. Dame Time's prime is gone, so. But then again, you know, this guy, you talk about fighters, he's a fighter. So you don't think he wants to prove the naysayers wrong? We'll see.
So when he went to Milwaukee, he went from being a Batman to a Robin. That was kind of the deal there. Now, is he even a Robin when he comes back, or is he just a third man?
Well, who's the third Batman person? Not Batgirl. We're not going with that.
Well, she's part of it.
Yeah.
Nightwing? I don't know.
I don't know if he becomes, when he gets healthy, and you, like you say, he could be gone for a year. I don't know if it'll be in Milwaukee. You know what I mean?
Right. Giannis might not even be there. Let's see. Let's go back to the NFL here. An early look at next year's draft. The quarterbacks who could be at the top of the class. Arch Manning, he's the favorite to go number one overall, followed by Drew Aller. Those two actually pretty close in odds. Then you get a bit of a gap before your other quarterbacks, Neusmeyer out of LSU, South Carolina Sellers. And usually when we try to predict this stuff a year out or even before the start of the college football season, well, it's kind of a futile effort because rarely does the top quarterback at that time end up being the consensus guy on draft night. With that in mind, Vinny, buy or sell, the top quarterback in next year's class will not be named Manning or Aller.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it because I don't think Manning's coming out. Number one, and Aller, I've seen Aller play a lot. I mean, he doesn't, like, just watching, like, instant evaluation, watching him on TV, doesn't like when you're watching him say, yeah, that's Andrew Luck, or that right. doesn't, you know, like Tyler Warren had to bail them all out, you know, in the one playoff game. So, I don't see it with Aller.
And we'll talk to Ryan Wilson later in the show, CBSSports.com, if memory serves, guys. He was a big Neusmeyer fan for this year's draft, yeah. if he would have come out.
And our last topic of the day in the NBA, we've got a pair of Game 5s out west tonight. The Warriors up 3-1 on the Rockets. Timberwolves up 3-1 on the Lakers. Both of those series took a big swing in Game 4. Golden State and Minnesota both winning narrow on their home court. Now they try to close it out on the road, but both home teams here tonight are betting favorites, depending on what sports books you look at. Buy or sell, Bob, we see at least one team fend off elimination tonight.
I'll buy it. And I don't know about the Lakers, though. Houston, I think youth is kind of catching up to them because Jimmy Buckets, he was going off. Draymond Green, I think, is in their heads. And Curry, of course, is Steph Curry. I'll buy that the Lakers will, you know, pull a John Travolta and staying alive. And then they'll fall to Minnesota in Game 6. So I'll buy that, Nolan. I think the Lakers will, and they are 6.5-point favorites, by the way. I think they will hang on for one more game. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, talk to Jim Hunter, our colleague on BBT, also longtime voice of the Orioles, as the Yankees lay waste to them early and often, quite frankly, down at Camden Yards. But can the Orioles though win the series? Stick around for that. And another draft profile. Talk about a guy that, could he compete for a starting job as a rookie? Stick around, you'll find out, too. Longtime voice of the Orioles. He's our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan. Baltimore Baseball Tonight brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Jim Hunter. Jim, good afternoon. What's going on?
How you doing there, partner?
I'm hanging in there, man. And I was telling the story, leaving Pickles. And, of course, you live that dream like I do. Walking back to my car. By the time I pulled out of Lot A, which encompasses about 10 minutes total time. It was 3-0. 3-0. It was 5-0 by the time I got to, like, Horseshoe Casino, if I'm not mistaken. But it was an ugly season debut for Kyle Gibson, and he'll get another start or two, we think, processing here. But Brandon Hyde said before the game it was kind of like a first start out of spring for him, you know, getting himself ready. But what did you see from the stuff Kyle Gibson last night, and any hopes that things at least get better moving forward here?
Well, to me, Bob, I don't think he looked like he was ready. You know, his command was all over the place, especially up in the zone. A few of those home runs in the first inning were on hanging breaking balls that were, you know, you may as well put it on a tee. He hadn't pitched in 9 days going into the start last night. Why that is, I don't know. He maybe would have benefited from another start in the minor leagues, a rehab start. But, you know, you go 3 2/3, you allow 9 runs and 5 home runs, and, as you pointed out, 4 in the first inning, 11 base hits and a couple of walks thrown in there. His command was not what you need to do. And I know Ben McDonald on the telecast last night, he kept making the point that when Kyle Gibson is Kyle Gibson, he's down in the zone. And he certainly wasn't that last night.
Now, Charlie Morton did pitch in relief, so he's going to miss a turn in the rotation. Could this be, because they're not going to eat 15 mil, I wouldn't think, the Orioles, what they signed him for in the offseason, but could this be more of a regular routine for him to get back whatever it is he has lost pitching in relief here?
Well, he did look good last night. I mean, his breaking ball was as good as it's been all year. You know, you go 2 1/3 with 1 run, and then it was an unearned run on 3 hits. He did walk 1 batter, but his command looked so much better last night. He seemed to have an idea of where he wanted the pitch to go, and he was getting swings and misses, and the breaking ball was as good as I've seen all year out of him. I mean, he is 0-6, although his ERA is now below 10 because of the 2 1/3 no earned runs last night. He's now at 9.45, but they're going to need him. I mean, I agree with you. I don't think he's a release candidate because they're paying him too much money. They just have to hope that he's going to figure it out as he did last night. And if he has to figure it out by staying in the bullpen, so be it.
All right, Jim, let's get to them defensively, and in particular, Gunnar Henderson. The Orioles made three errors last night, but Gunnar had the liner right at him. He dropped it, and I know it's hard and all that stuff, but you know, for him, I'm guessing it's just like playing catch. We'll get to the offense in a second, trust me, but any concerns with Gunnar at shortstop here? Four errors already, and we're not through April yet.
Yeah, I think it's a concentration thing. You know, that line drive last night that he botched should have been caught. He obviously misjudged it because it hit in the heel of the glove instead of in the webbing. But, you know, I don't know if it's too big of a concern because he has a proven track record. You're right. Four errors heading into the last day of April today is much too many than he would have anticipated or he would have liked. But I think he's still solid there. And the one thing about him, and you and I talked about this the other night on BBT, he plays every day at shortstop, and that's important because you have to get comfortable by playing every day. And at least he's the one guy in the infield that Brandon Hyde puts in there every day. So I think he's going to be fine.
Jim Hunter joining us, Vinny at Haney 105.7 The Fan, our colleague on Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. All right, the offense. And yeah, you're getting clobbered. And if it was Ernie Shavers, Ken Norton had been over a minute and a half into the first round. But it's not. It's a baseball game. You get 27 outs. 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position. I mean, forget about it. That's been a season-long problem. But at some, don't you have to go up and just try to get yours? You know what I mean? Still, like what Hyde say, get your personal achievement at bats or whatever it was, paraphrasing a little bit. I mean, I know you're losing as a team, and it's discouraging to be down right out of the gate, but you still have to do your job, which is try to connect bat to ball, and they were getting no hit through five. So are the early deficits becoming too much for them to overcome mentally, much less physically, and actually performing here?
Well, it's got to be discouraging when you're, especially at home, when you're coming to bat in the bottom of the first and you're already trailing. I mean, you know, you look at what this team has done at the plate all year. The team batting average, Bob, is .221. That's 27th out of the 30 teams in MLB. And they're now averaging 3.96 runs per game. So that's below four. And we all know that their magic number to win games, especially last year, was five. So, you know, you have so many guys that are underachieving. I mean, Adley Rutschman is 4 for his last 19, his last 7 games, 0 extra base hits, and he's batting .208. Mountcastle is batting .191, and Gunnar Henderson is batting .227. This team has been below .500 now for 27 days. They fell below .500 at 3-4 on April 3rd, and today's the last day of the month. So, you know, it definitely is discouraging when you come to bat, especially in your first at-bat when you're already trailing. And unfortunately, they've had to do that more times than not, especially since April 3rd when they fell below .500.
Hey, Jim, we've heard some people talk about, they need to fire Hyde, you know, but the players love Hyde and stuff. What's your opinion on that?
Well, Vinny, I don't think it's his fault. I think the team was poorly constructed in the off season. I mean, they should have gone out and got more frontline starters. I mean, the starters' combined ERA is 6.05. That's 29th in the major leagues out of 30 teams. And, you know, the Red Sox did it. The Orioles certainly have the prospects that other teams would want. And I understand that Mike Elias covets these prospects, but they're not all going to play in Baltimore. And Boston went out and got Garrett Crochet. They gave up 4 of their top prospects, but they now have Garrett Crochet in the rotation in the same division as the Orioles. And I don't think it's Hyde's fault. I mean, you know, Zach Eflin getting hurt certainly hurt because he was the one consistent starter on the team when he got hurt. You know, Povich, who goes tonight, is coming off his best start probably in the major leagues last Thursday in D.C. when he went 6 2/3, allowed one run on four hits. So I just don't think they gave Brandon Hyde a team that, especially in the rotation, that can compete in this division. And because the team batting has been so inconsistent, they're playing from behind so much that they are having a difficult time because of the pressures to come back in games.
Jim Hunter, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight. Orioles taking on the Yankees this evening. Could win the series, however. Jim, Kansas City's coming to town this weekend. Of course, the Orioles got dismissed by them quickly in the wild card round. Bobby Witt Jr., first thing comes to mind when you think of him.
I think he's a superstar. I remember when he was drafted second overall behind Adley in, what was that, 2019?
Correct.
And there was a lot of debate whether the Orioles should go after Witt because he dominated in his high school season as a senior in Texas. And I guess the Orioles went with Adley because he was a college player. And, Bob, you and I know how much analytics play into this organization. College players have a lot more analytics on them than high school players. So, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. is a superstar, and you hate to see him come up with the game on the line. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, 20-game hitting streak. He will be the starting shortstop in the All-Star game for the American League, I would assume, this year. Hey, but Adley's expected numbers are pretty good. How about that?
You and I talked about this the other night. I have no idea what that means. you know, these analytical things that they make up, expected batting average, what does that mean? He's batting 208. You know, I mean, what's he supposed to be batting? How about you have a three-hit night and follow it up with a two-hit night and get that batting average going upwards?
Yeah, back of that baseball card doesn't say expected average. It tells you what the real average is. Jim Hunter, we'll talk to you on Friday, my friend.
Thanks, Jim.
Looking forward to it, guys. Pleasure to talk to you.
There you go, Jim Hunter. We'll come back. Draft Pro Bowl number two. We're going back to the defense for the Ravens and a guy that could be a starter, maybe not. I don't know. You'll get a scouting report from Vinny coming up in a few. NFL lunch at 1 o'clock. And then Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, did all of these mock drafts for 2025. Does he have to do one for 2026 already?
Vinny Serrato's Draft Profiles. News, notes, and analysis on the 2025 NFL Draft Class. Vinny and Haney. Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
For me, special teams is you know, going to be a priority for me. I'm super excited to play special teams. I played special teams in college. I'm super excited to learn from guys like Rohan and just pick their brain and do everything I can to see how they're pros and just follow their lead.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, draft profile number two here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Let's talk about a guy drafted in the fourth round who's obviously super excited to be here.
Just listening to that there, Bob, I mean, usually you say, you know, looking forward to coming in and have a chance to play. I mean, he comes out right away talking about teams. So that must have been what they talked to him about, was you're coming in to be a special teamer. Teddy Buchanan, Cal, 6'2", 233, ran 4.6. 31 3/8 arms, which are a little short. 9 3/8 hand. Awesome. 40-inch vertical jump, which is awesome. 10'5" broad jump, great. 26 reps, 2 1/4. That's really good, too. Now, he started out at Cal Davis in 2020, 5 games in the spring. That was during COVID. 2021, Cal Davis played in all 12 games, 9 starts, 74 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 2 picks, 2 PBUs. 2022, Cal Davis played in 8 games, 7 starts, 44 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 3 interceptions, 1 touchdown, 2 PBUs, and he was the captain. 2023, Cal Davis, second team All Big Sky, started 11 games, 72 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 3 picks. And then this 2024 went to Cal. First team all ACC. That's kind of weird saying that about Cal.
Yeah.
First team all ACC. Started 13 games, 114 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 4 PBUs, 2 forced fumbles. Strength, size, speed, combine numbers, well-built, muscular kid, production, good motor, runs well, good blitzer, shows a burst, good read and react, runs well with running back in coverage, gets depth in coverage, special teams contributor, good feel on the blitz. He'll wrap the tackle, shows instincts, quick read and pass, takes good angles to the ball, and he plays smart. Weakness, short arms, not a strong take-on versus big O-line, must use hands better to get off blocks, a little tight in the hips, average instinct, some trouble breaking down in space, plays small. In summary, Teddy's a smart player that'll be outstanding on teams. He can run, tackle, and has a great motor. Versus a run, plays small, trouble versus big old lineman, getting off blocks and taking on. Does a good job dropping into coverage. For Ravens, core special teamer, backup linebacker, if he has to play, blitz him. Bring him on the blitz, you know, and that'll take away. Because against a run, Bob, he's non-effective whatsoever because he gets caught up in all the traffic. But if he had to play, I'd run blitz him, pass blitz him, and that's what I do because he does a nice job at that, but he cannot hold up against a run.
Makes the team, of course.
No doubt. Well, he's going to replace Board, you know, probably special teamer. He and Hummel will be the two guys, and then we'll see, you know, like if Kane and those guys, you know, can Bo Braid, you know, if those guys can hang on.
Got NFL lunch coming up top of the hour. Look more at Jeff Zrebeck's depth chart for the Ravens here based from The Athletic. But news, Nolan, got breaking news coming out of the Ravens camp in regards to fifth-year options, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, as we expected, Kyle Hamilton had his picked up. Now, what we didn't expect on the surface here, Tyler Linderbaum not having his fifth-year option picked up. Doing a little more digging here. Jonas Schaefer is all over this. Already has a write-up for the banner. But the fifth-year option would have earned Tyler Linderbaum $23.4 million
Woo!
In 2026. Obviously, the highest-paid center right now, $18
million. Yeah.
So,
what, Creed Humphreys, I believe it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, not financially responsible. They're already said here in the post that they're going to work out. They still want to keep him long-term.
Yeah.
But it's not financially responsible.
No, yeah. Because if you picked it up, Nolan, then when you go to do a contract, you're starting at 23.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And every other team in the NFL would be bitching and complaining where the PA would be excited. So, yeah, that was probably – Linderbaum knew that and his agent, I'm sure that was expected.
Now, what's Hamilton's price tag here? I was assuming they don't sign him to a long-term deal.
Safeties is fairly low. Is not as bad at it.
That I don't know on the surface.
Sorry about that. But, yeah, but, you know, you look at it here, the tweet, Ravens announced they'll pick up fifth-year option for Hamilton. Oh, yeah, and decline fifth-year option for Linderbaum. And it's like, holy hell. But there's a much bigger scenario going on here.
No doubt about it. I mean, you can't pay – when the highest-paid center in the league is 18, and then that number's 23, yeah, that was never going to happen. And I'm guessing with NFL people and everybody else, it wasn't expected.
Got right. A rough projection here for Hamilton says 18.6.
So, and what are the top safety was?
That's Winfield, right?
No, somebody just passed it. Wasn't it a Philly? Somebody just passed it, I thought. Detroit. And I'm not sure.
Oh, Joseph.
Yeah, what did he get, like 19?
He's 85 overall, 21.25 per year.
So Hamilton will get over 21.25.
But getting back to Linderbaum, nothing to see here. Please disperse. They're going to sign him long term.
Yes.
We think.
No doubt. And like
he's an anchor in that.
Even when he was doing his interview the other day or whatever it was, he's not concerned about the contract, you know, and I'm sure that – you know, you're not getting a fifth. Yeah, I know. You know, I don't think it was like a shock to him.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back at NFL lunch. Talk about that Ravens depth chart the way it looks right now, of course. Post-draft, still another round of free agency to go. Rookie minicamps coming up this weekend. OTAs are right around the corner, and it's insanity. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. We'll put a bow on the draft with him. Maybe look ahead to next year if you want to get that far into it. And your American League East report. Outside of the Orioles getting spanked by the Yankees, other things went on in the division. We'll talk about that, give you today's schedule, and look at the updated standings as well. Buzz Williams got a big recruit. Darius Adams decommits from UConn. Five-star McDonald's All-American. He is eligible for the upcoming season and outdoing Tennessee, Michigan State, and others for his services.